host, Mr. Island, talks to other role players from around the world. I've had people from America to Germany to Israel to... I think I've had someone from... Definitely I've had people from Canada. All of them, just like you and me, just regular role players who like to have fun. I've had people on here who like to sing. I've had people on from other podcasts. I've had people on just from talking about Roblox roleplay. Just one of those things I really like to talk about. Today I am talking with Necro. I met them through Final Fantasy XIV. I'm sorry, the critically acclaimed Final Fantasy XIV MMO. Oh, I fucked it up. I'm not going back and fixing it. And they... We didn't get to roleplay very, very much, but we did get to... We have had a few scenes together, and that was really enjoyable. So, you know, I invited them onto the podcast to talk to me a little bit about themselves. Nothing special today. Oh, actually, there is something. So, yes, I released the new Pages of Lore, but not in podcast form. Turns out, when I switched over from my old platform, my old podcast platform, distribution platform? Yeah. To the new one, they gave me basically 6 months free, and that was really nice. The previous one I was using was way too expensive, and it would have cost like an additional, I think, $40 just to have another podcast. And so when I went to this new one, they were free, and I can have as many podcasts as I want, but I can't have as many podcasts as I want. And while the coupon, as they called it, is in effect. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to release them on YouTube at my, you know, on my channel, the Core Role Players Guild. And I will provide them in the Discord for everybody to watch. And I will keep maintaining the Monday and Friday schedule, release schedule. And when we get closer to the 6 months being free ending, I will... release all of the audio tracks because I have them all here ready to go on the other podcast and just launch that. We should have somewhere between 30 to 40 episodes ready to go. I say episodes, readings. Each one is literally anywhere between 30 seconds to a minute or 2 minutes long. Like, they're not very long readings. Anyways, but I do have a lot of fun doing them. Anyhow, yeah, let's get Necro in here.
You and I, we met in Final Fantasy 14, was it?
Yes.
How long ago was it that you and I even roleplayed together? Because you and I have had maybe a handful of experiences together.
You've roleplayed with one of my characters, Sorokin.
Uh-huh.
And that was the only time you've roleplayed. You've never met any of my other characters, or should I say Myriad. I want to say at least 6 months ago when we were both in the same FC guild.
6 months ago? God, it feels longer than that.
Maybe? I don't know, honestly.
It could have been. It's one of those things where I've gotten involved into too many MMOs, and because I've gotten involved in too many MMOs, and I've got my fingers in too many... What's the phrase? Pudding? I got my finger in too
many... Cookie jars?
Sure. I've got my fingers in too many cookie jars, and I... Unfortunately, that really hinders an ability to keep up relationships when it comes to MMOs. Too many characters, like too many characters, is already a problem. Too many MMOs is a whole nother problem in and of itself.
See, and I was about to say, I have so many characters on 14, like it just keeps growing, and I know exactly what you mean because I'll see someone on one character that I know from another and be like, "Who this person?"
Oh man, I can't do it. Like every MMO, I have to have like one character.
Yes,
I cannot do more than one character. I don't know how people do it, have so many different characters over and over and over again. It would drive me insane. I don't think I could.
I have an overactive imagination, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, for me, it's a lot of the appeal of MMO role playing, or just role playing in general, is seeing the interpersonal relationships between the characters. And I feel like with all the different characters, like having different characters, you won't get that as much. Is that true, or am I just stupid?
So for me, it's, God, this stemmed in ever since I was younger. It's like when I'm playing a role-playing game or an MMO in general, I'll see the lore of something just show up on whatever, like what have you. And then it's like, instantly I'm thinking to myself, I want to make a character like that. And sometimes it's a hit or miss. So I'll either just have that thought and it stays there, or something will actually spawn from that, and then I'll build onto it.
Have you ever had any sort of trouble keeping up with all of your characters? Or has it just been, today I'll pick this character. Tonight I'll pick this character.
It's mostly the second part, because I keep a good log of what I'm doing with each one. And plus, I have a lot of friends that I roleplay with different characters and whatnot. So seeing, especially in Discord roleplay, it's like, I know where they're at in their story and whatnot.
So you say that, okay, no, that is something that we can kind of touch base with together, because when I, let's take World of Warcraft, for example, I have had the same character in World of Warcraft pretty much since Burning Crusade, right? And there have been times where I've been like, God, I really wish I could just experience something a little bit newer, or experience, like, I'm not bored of my friends group, but I would like to have like a change, and a new character would help that out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also one of those people who is unfortunately a perfectionist or a completionist. And having one character, like in Final Fantasy 14, I think it's the best thing in the world that I can have one character to literally all the content, right?
All of it, yes.
Yeah, it's all of it. I cannot stand the fact that like, World of Warcraft, I love World of Warcraft so very much, but the fact that I have to make two separate characters, one to experience the Horde side, one to experience the Alliance side, drives me insane to such a large degree.
See, I've never played World of Warcraft, but hearing your podcast, I've learned a lot more from it than I have ever known. And I think that's ridiculous, too, because in 14, and even in ESO, you can do practically anything with one character.
Pretty much, yeah. The only thing about Elder Scrolls Online that isn't the same in Final Fantasy 14 is that you have to change classes. In Elder Scrolls Online. While in Final Fantasy 14, you could just literally be whatever the hell you want to be.
Yep.
Which I think is really cool. Are you excited for the Viper class coming out?
Yes. That is something I honestly can't wait for, because it looks more roguelike than the actual rogue class we have.
Yeah. Yeah. We went from the rogues in Final Fantasy 14, I forget what they're exactly called.
Rogue.
Literally, it's called Rogue. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
they are more thief-themed, aren't they? Isn't that...
Yes. There's no real, like, assassin class until you get to Ninja. And even then, it's not really an assassin class to me.
And everyone is secretly an assassin class in Final Fantasy 14.
Everyone. It's kind of like Skyrim. You're always a stealth archer at some point.
I like the stealth archer trope. I really do. I wish it wasn't such a meme, but it really is, and I really do like that trope.
Look, let me admit something. I recently have made my very first stealth archer build in Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
And it is tons of fun, but I'm always that person that's like, no, it's too popular. I don't want a part of it. But I finally gave this one a try, and I'm having a blast sniping dragons from the depths of the darkness and just killing them.
What is your favorite class trope? Like, just in general?
Spell sword? Always.
Mine has got to be magic shield. I'm going to let everyone know, right? And every now and again, my friend Maddie, who I talk about every so often, will call me out on it. But I have a, getting real intimate with you and the audience here, I have a shield kink. I love shields. I think shields are cool. I'm not like gung-ho for Captain America, but I really do like shields. And I don't know why. I've always been like this. And so in Skyrim, I was able to fulfill this fantasy of mine where I was able to have a spell in one hand and a shield in the other hand. And I just ran around using my shield and my spells, and I loved it. I don't know why I'm like this. I just am. And I've tried to carry this stupid, silly idea into as many games as possible.
Honestly, I think that's a great idea and something I may try in Skyrim soon.
I liked it. I wore light armor. I used a light shield. Just, the whole thing was to just run around the battlefield, shooting spells and laying traps and doing that sort of stuff.
Well, the thing is about Skyrim, especially for that build in particular, if you need to do close quarters combat, you can just summon a sword and just be like, ah!
Yeah, precisely. I love it. I think it is the best. I don't know
It's
why.
A versatile build, and I am for it.
But with that said, we were back on the topic of Final Fantasy XIV. Is Final Fantasy... I'm sorry. I have to say it correctly, or else my friend Wesley will be upset at me. Is the critically acclaimed MMO Final Fantasy XIV the first MMO that you roleplayed in?
Yes. It is.
How has that been? What was that like?
Oh god, I got some horror stories that has forever tainted anyone I meet. Would you like to hear a couple?
No, absolutely. Give me some.
So I quit role-playing ever since we moved over here. And my first experience with roleplay was actually in AOL chat rooms, so it was always like a forum, and I just threw myself in there, figured out how to write, and ever since then I've been hooked. Well, since we moved here, I didn't have anyone to do that with. There was really, AOL was no longer a thing, so it just kind of dropped off on me. So I'm playing 14, a friend of work at the job I was working at the time, he convinced me to play 14. I've always been interested in 14 because I love Final Fantasy. But the idea of actually paying for a game every month kind of made that impossible for me because I didn't have a job and my parents were like, pay for a game while you play it? No. So that kind of blew that out of the water. So when I got my own money and had a friend who mentioned it, I said, why not? Let's give it a chance. So when I first played 14, I never did roleplay. I never really thought of it, honestly. I was just a tank. I ran in dungeons. I hit things. It was fun. And that account got corrupted, or I can't really happen. I can't remember what happened to it. But I had to stop anyways because the wife and I, we were getting into some financial trouble and couldn't support my want to play the game. Fast forward later, I make a new service account. I'm on the Crystal database in Matias, I think that's how you say it. And I'm running around and I go to the quicksand and there's people with these RP tags on. And I'm like, you can do that here? So I figure out how to put the RP tag on, and without knowing who my character was at the time, I just jump right in to quicksand roleplay, which was a mistake in itself.
Oh, man. Listen, the best way I can describe quicksand roleplay to the audience is it's like and akin to a more serious, for the World of Warcraft audience anyways, is that it's more akin to Goldshire, but more serious than what Goldshire used to be. And to let you know what Goldshire is, Necro, Goldshire is the cesspool of trolls and degenerates and all these sorts of things. Like you're talking about horror stories. That's where the horror stories happen in World of Warcraft. And so it's like Blue Recluse, almost. Blue Recluse in World of Warcraft is a inn. It's a bar where a lot of role players used to get involved in World of Warcraft and Warmrest Accord. It was basically like the center roleplay hub, and all the center roleplay hubs and MMOs tend to be really chaotic. I'm gonna say that Final Fantasy is a lot more chaotic than World of Warcraft or Elder Scrolls Online, because Elder Scrolls Online has a bit of a serious element to it, because Oblivion and Skyrim have always presented themselves more seriously, right?
Right,
Where Final Fantasy is all about the power.
All of it. You are the anime main character.
Precisely, and people show it in Final Fantasy 14 sometimes. Like, it's
really hard. Yes.
I want to say it was really hard coming from World of Warcraft to Final Fantasy when I did that, because World of Warcraft has like its own separate feel to it, and that feeling is just not there when you go to Final Fantasy. It's really hard to describe to an audience.
Yeah, it is, because again, power, that's all it's about. You feel like Virgil from Devil May Cry. It's all about power.
Yeah, you really do. It's pretty much wild, because you have to tread this line of maintaining this power fantasy, but also maintaining respect towards the other players and the other characters and storylines that are being developed.
Well, what I can say about Final Fantasy XIV RP is there's a huge no-no of actually role-playing the Warrior of Light.
Of course, yeah. It's the same thing with pretty much all of them. You're not
supposed
to role-play the main character of World of Warcraft. You're not supposed to role-play the Vistage in
ESO. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like they give you so much gray area to actually play with as a normal person in the world to just borderline that I'm a god trope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So and even in a lot of instances with NPCs, they can switch between, I don't know, a paladin to a dragoon or something, you know? It's just, yeah. So they give us that freedom.
And speaking of that, right there, we know for a fact in the critically acclaimed MMO Final Fantasy XIV, like, there aren't many Dragoon Stones out there. So how people can roleplay the Dragoon in the first place is up in the air. Like, they do not give you the concept of a normal person, like you said.
Right, and Dragoon is so hard to roleplay too, because it's very well guarded secrets to the Ishgardian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really Empire, but I like calling them the Empire. But still, funny that we are talking about this, because I've been making a Dragoon character, and I've learned so much yesterday to someone. Shout out to them. If you listen to this, you know who you are.
Hey, share the podcast. Let them know.
I will.
Make them listen. Tie them down. I give you my permit. No, please don't tie anybody down. Unless they consent, then go for it.
Okay, fine. I'll ask. That's not fun.
That said, have you had a hard time roleplaying any of your characters in particular?
So I've learned from my first roleplay to this to current roleplay is not to jump in, not knowing anything about your character.
That's my favorite thing to do, though.
Let me rephrase that. Uh-huh. So I get like a starting line for a character. This is who they are. This is what they do. The more you roleplay with them, it's more becomes revealed, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And then you get that perfect feeling of this character and who they really are. So in that aspect, yes, but just create them and then throw them out like they're a Pokemon, like, go so-and-so, and then not knowing a lick about them, I don't do.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I agree with that. with you and I, we role-played, I used my Viera. Yes, everyone, I had a Viera. Leave me alone.
Had? He's gone?
Nah, he's still there. I'm just waiting on the other FC to start up, and then I'll join back up with you guys. That's just the whole thing. I'm just waiting on that. I guess I could jump back into Final Fantasy 14 right now and do other stuff, but I just... Oh, man. Too many MMOs.
A lot on your plate. Take your time. Final Fantasy will always be there.
Too many cookies is what I'm trying to say. And they all look delicious. But... So we were playing and I was using my Viera and I didn't know shit about the Viera. I really don't. I still don't to this day. I just don't. And I was just going to figure it out as I go. And,
oof.
I know a little bit about just the itiest bittiest, just the one single spaghetti noodle of lore. And I was really just writing on that. And I never really adhered to his past at all. I would try to, as I understood it, the Viera spoke a lot like they do in the other Final Fantasy game that has Viera, where they have long, drawn-out sentences. And that's what I tried. I tried to replicate that. To an extent. And I remember at one point, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, and they were like, I have no idea what the fuck you're saying.
I think I was in that RP, honestly, because someone said that in the party chat, and I just busted out laughing.
And I'm just like, I'm so sorry, homie, I'm trying. Listen, I am not good at VR speak. I was trying to channel Fran and get that mindset of speech going, and that just, it has not worked at all. So when Vraska comes back to the other FC, when we get that started up, I'm gonna have to do something with them. But it's the same thing in like Guild Wars 2, where I don't know much about the lore, and I just try not to talk about the lore that much, and instead I try to bring out more interpersonal stories via people's characters themselves, not just the background, or not just the lore of the characters' races and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know why I'm on tangent.
So here's the thing. You go on tangents, dude. I love it. The thing is, you chose a Viera male to play as, whose lore is infinitely worse than an actual female Viera. And I've actually recently made a Viera female who's a very tribal, and she just left her tribe, and honestly I can help you out with more Viera stuff because I got the Encyclopedia Eorzea Part 3 that has all the lore you need in Viera, so I can send you some screenshots if you'd like.
Cool. So okay, I was actually going to, that was one of the things I was always interested in knowing, is that if the encyclopedias themselves actually do give you lore, or if it's just like a rehash of what you find out in the game.
It's kind of both, so to say, because, you know, the game will only give you cookie crumbs of lore, and then you have to figure out the rest. Encyclopedias, they actually fill in a little bit of the gaps and whatnot, and they add on to each story, each section that they come out with.
That's pretty cool. I'm very excited about that. I did roleplay another character before I made Vraska. I roleplayed another character named, and her name was Shune, Shjune. And she is one of the Rianne, I think. I think that's what they're called, the lizard people.
Yeah, the Rianne, the ones that aren't like Dotha or Zayla.
So
Zayla Master Race. Sorry.
Well, she is, she's from the underwater village, and I forget what the name is, and I really try to roleplay her with this heavy armor getup, or at least, like, she would wear a mask. I'm a romantic for masks, it's a long story.
But
she would wear this mask and these heavy clothes, because, she had this feeling of, like, being out from underneath the water was really weird to her, and she just could never adjust to it. And she hated the moon. And when the DLC for the moon came out, I never got on her. And if anybody ever asks, I'd be like, she's hiding from the moon.
I'm literally picturing you're in the middle of an RP and the in-game clock, it turns to night and you're just log off. It doesn't matter if you're typing or the other person's typing. Log off. Just done.
Well, have you tried any other formats of role-playing? That includes cosplaying, LARPing, tabletops?
Okay, so a little bit more history. RP was a little bit of a no-no in my parents' house. And specifically because of Dungeons & Dragons. And I remember... Oh. Yeah, I remember back in the day, it was like some kid offed himself because his character died, I think was the story. Huh. And that just blew up in the religious households. Like, oh, it made them commit suicide. And even as young as I was, I didn't know what Dungeons & Dragons was. So when I was told you can't play that, I'm like, okay. So I really didn't know Dungeons & Dragons was a role-playing game until much later in my life, mm-hmm. like high school age. So I never really played Dungeons & Dragons till, well, like I said, high school. And I have a group of friends that I hang out with in real life, and one of them, their brother, did a whole Pathfinder roleplay for us, and it was amazing. It's so I did. Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. I made a literal god.
Well, I don't know why I like roleplaying so much. I like the storytelling aspect of it, and I guess I like the number crunching aspect of it as well.
See, we're at an age right now where people always ask, you know, what do you identify as and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I have a ton of characters in 14 and many other games that you can, quote, roleplay, unquote, in. Mm-hmm. So when someone asks me, you know, because I play a lot of women characters in 14 because the models look infinitely better than the male models to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm attracted to it. It's just they just look better in most of the armor sets and whatnot that you get. But people ask, well, what are you? And I'm a writer. That's what I am. You know, I have male characters, I have female characters, I have all these characters. I've always had a thing about writing.
Sure, I can understand that. I roleplay both masculine and feminine characters myself. I can completely understand. I can't say for a reason whether it's one thing or another thing. I used to think it was because I used to have trouble with my gender identity, but I
Fair.
Don't really think it's the case anymore. I'm pretty happy. Like, I've had to go through a lot of therapy, and as people who have listened can put this on their bingo cards, I'm talking about therapy again. but I went through therapy, and I realized that I'm pretty happy with my body, with what my body is. I really enjoy experiencing both sides of things. I just do. Like, it's the one thing about
World right. of Warcraft
and still just drives me insane that I have to have two separate characters.
Right.
To do things. I just want to know. That's it. Mm-hmm. And when I make my characters and when I do these things, I don't think about my character and me being the same thing. We're completely separate individuals. I always talk about my characters as though they are their own people, not mm-hmm. as they are not just an extension of myself. Yes, I am the one who is driving them, but they are not me. And
correct. Yes. And see, I cannot say it better than myself, especially experiencing both worlds, mm-hmm. because you given this story and you got this myriad of characters and you can make whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have so many characters. It's always brings a different aspect of writing depending on the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I love experiencing that. And it's when it comes to roleplay, I tend to stay away from gender politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just here to have fun. If mm-hmm. you have trouble wrapping your mind around a guy's behind a female character, that's fair. I understand completely. Because I used to be that way. Until I made a female character, I said, oh no, this is actually fun.
I mean, it doesn't matter who the person behind... I mean, heck, by the last... my friend, Jax, was talking about her replaying a male character. I mean, I don't... It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. You shouldn't need to know... The only thing you need to know about the other person behind the screen is... And even then, this is to an extent, is if they are of age to consent. And
yes.
That is a whole ass gray area, which I don't want to really get into right now on this podcast because I want to do a documentary about that at some point. But
ooh, fun.
Yeah, I've been trying to look into it, but it's been really difficult. But with that said, you don't need to know anything about the other people behind the screen. You just don't. If they're able to get online and do this thing in an MMO, then essentially it's fine as long as you are being respectful to them as an individual.
Yes, that's the biggest thing. Never, and I listened to that one with Jax. That was a fun one. A lot of people, and I know they said the same thing, they mix up in character and out of character way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my horror stories actually stem from, is people falling in love with me compared to the character.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand why. It's fine, whatever. It doesn't go past what we're writing. But my thing is, the reason why I say, you know, getting to know the person behind the character is because I instantly throw out what I am when something seems to be like a partnership in a role play. It's, I'm a married man and a happy father. Don't ruin it. If you do, we're never talking again. Pretty much.
Well, yeah, you have to set boundaries for yourself. And I'm not gonna condemn anybody
who wants
to set boundaries like that. I mean, it's just, it's disrespectful to be mad at somebody who wants to do that. It just is.
It is.
So I remember way back when I was role-playing in World of Warcraft, and this was back during, I think, it was either Wrath of Lich King or Cataclysm, I can't remember. And I messaged one of my friends who I used to roleplay with, and I asked them, like, I was trying to ask them how they were doing and stuff like that. And I think I was super duper lonely, and it might have come off as super duper clingy. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but they got, you know, they got defensive and said, don't, you know, I, like, I don't want you to, like, this is nothing more than a thing for the characters and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And I talked to them a bit more about this, and they said that their favorite roleplay is just not knowing who the other person is at all. They just want the character to know the character. They don't want the player to know the player. And that set my expectations for roleplay all the way up until pretty much recently, when I'm starting to realize or starting to notice that there are more people out there. Hey, buddy. Hey. No, now my son's up. Give me one sec.
No problem.
Hello, hello. It is time for the question of the week, which I have been thoroughly enjoying. Thank you guys for sending in your questions. So today I have a question from Lynx in our Discord. What is the driving force behind why you roleplay? Is it because of boredom, community, a relentless need to tell stories? Something else? Well, back in the day when I first got into roleplaying, it was because I had a desperate need to be a part of everybody else's lives. That's going to sound super selfish. I know, and also kind of cringy. I get it. But I'm a person who used to put every bit of stock about themselves in the eyes of others, if that makes any sense. I was a person who just needed to be a part of someone else's life, who needed to be there to provide aid or to help or something like that. You know what I mean? And that's why I got into role-playing, is because I could be a part of other people's lives, and I could provide something for them. I could provide a story for them. And I loved that, because I love telling stories, especially with other people. Writing by myself sucks, but writing with other people, fantastic. And then I discovered what I was really trying to do is just trying to figure out, well, that's not true. I was also trying to figure out more about myself, who I was as a human being, who I am as, you know, just a person. Who is Mr. Island, as it were. And I used role-playing a lot to figure that out. Now, I role-play just because, fuck, I love it. That's it. I love meeting people like you through Elder Scrolls Online, and I love meeting people like, you know, the Magus and Telgear, JoJo, everybody in the Discord who I have role-played with just means so much to me. I mean, hell, my friend Choi, he's one of my best friends in the whole world. I met through role-playing D&D at a comic book store. And him and I have been good friends for, God, 15 years now. And, you know, it's... So I guess it's about community now. You know what I mean? Anyways, that's all I got for that question. If you would like to leave me a question, I have a thread up in our Discord. You can also just send me an email at thecoreroleplayersguild@gmail.com. I do check it. Pretty much every day. And, you know, come, ask me a question. I feel like I've got a lot of expertise in role-playing. So it doesn't have to be just about me. It can be about anything. It could be about something that you need help with. Do you have something going on in one of your role-plays that makes you uncomfortable? That you feel like you just don't have a good way of handling it? Feel free to reach out to me. I've been in a lot of really uncomfortable situations in role-playing. And, yeah. I hope to hear from you. I hope I can help. Thank you. Anyways, back to the interview.
I'm starting to... Or the community has moved away from this knowing people out of character is taboo, which I don't think it is taboo to know somebody out of character. I just think that you have to know somebody out of character. If that makes any sense. And people find...
It does.
People are finding that, and especially with Discord and social media and stuff like that, and that's much easier to know the other players, that their role play is experience is being enhanced via that out of character relationship, as long as it doesn't get, you know, too creepy.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that, because my rule of thumb is if someone's uncomfortable with me knowing who they are, that's fine, whatever, you know, we can keep OOC conversation to a minimum, like, are you available today, or what's schedule looking like today, and then keep it at that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Mm-hmm. However, if it becomes something more serious in the role play, I do sometimes like to understand who I'm role playing with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for instance, you know Iris from, she and I have been role-playing for 4 years. And we are on a first-name basis. We sometimes get gifts for each other or for both our children. But that's as far as it goes. We're like internet besties, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But our friendship is, to me, like the gold star standard of respect between players and role-play.
Well, you should always just, everyone who is out there who is listening to this, you should always just be respectful to the other people in general, right?
Exactly! Like, and it doesn't take a lot.
It really doesn't. Like, I know it doesn't, I know that it takes literally nothing to be an asshole, but it also takes literally nothing to be good.
Exactly.
Respectful to the other people. Like, it's not difficult at all.
And no, it's not.
When it comes to role playing it with like characters and stuff like that, you can build a lot of good relationships with people. You can build a lot of long lasting relationships with other players and other people.
You can
give you more stories. Like, this is something Jax and I talked about a lot, in that you need other people to be there for you to do this hobby.
Yes, you really do.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, if you are okay role-playing by just yourself, that is fine. There are plenty of games out there that'll let you do that. Skyrim, yep. Starfield, anything Bethesda has made, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
There are solo tabletops out there now. I have one. I love it to death. It's called Rune. I'm supposed to go onto another podcast and talk about it. I play it pretty much every single day over my morning cup of coffee. I do. It's just a good way for me to kickstart my brain in the mornings.
Shoot, I'm gonna get that.
I will be happy to share the links.
Please do.
I'm a big fan of Spencer Campbell, but I'm not talking about Spencer Campbell right now. But yes. What I'm trying to say is that if you just take the time to nourish the relationship between yourself out of character and other people, and the relationship with other people out of character, then you will find yourself just flocked with so many friends. I have so many friends in every MMO that I'm on, okay? The only MMO that I don't have a ton of friends on is Star Wars. And that's because I hardly play Star Wars at all.
I mean, I don't blame you. It's kind of in a weird place right now, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Star Wars. I think they had a graphics update not too long ago.
I know they, like, changed the whole entire game, and that made me want to re-get it, but the laptop I have has... Basically, I've named this laptop my Final Fantasy XIV laptop, because that's all it's here for.
What other horror stories have you got for me? I want to know more.
So, my first role-playing partner in Final Fantasy XIV, it just turned into a what-the-hell moment, excuse my language. Uh-huh. And we started off strong. It was pretty cool. We were role-playing just about every day in Discord or in 14 when I was off work. And they started to get a little attached.
Mm-hmm.
So the wife and I, this is after, what, about a year of role-playing with this particular person. And the wife and I, we were moving to Georgia. And in the process of moving, I sent in my 2 weeks at the job I was at the time, and I would visit her every weekend that I had because it was about an hour and a half drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling this particular role-playing partner what was going on because, again, we've been role-playing for a year. You're allowed to know a little bit about me and my life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, they're like, ditch your wife and move to New York with me.
That's a little weird.
What? So I play it off as a, you know, one of those what if talks you have with your friends all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. We'll leave it at that. So 2 weeks ends and I'm fully moved in with my wife in our new apartment in Georgia. Everything is good. Everything is nice. I get a text from this role playing partner in Discord saying, so when are you going to show up? Oh, we were serious. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare in itself. I've been there with a couple of players, not moving in with them. I've never gotten to that point, but people who, like, again, this is about boundary setting, and it's, I'm going to say part of this is on my fault for not setting the boundary sooner. But yes. I have been there with people, and they're like, they will get upset at me for not being there for them or not talking with them and stuff like that. And I'm just like, homie, I don't know how to tell you. I got shit to do. I think the last time this happened was back during Wildstar roleplay, which was just so much fun. Oh, God, I miss Wildstar so much. But they really got like obsessed with my character, and I had to, because at the time of Wildstar shutting down, I had a son on the way, right? And so Wildstar shut down, and they never exchanged numbers. Like, we've never exchanged out of character social medias. And so they somehow found me out of character.
Discord.
And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Hey, what's up? I'm so sorry I never got the ability to reach out to you. I just, my son's on the way and I'm just working a lot. And They got real fucking mad at me.
Oh my god!
For not doing that, and I'm just like, what? Homie, I'm. What do you want from me? You're a parent, aren't you?
Yes, I've had this conversation, the very same conversation you had with yours last night before bedtime.
Yeah, JJ, my son, has been a little underneath the weather, and he has not been letting me sleep very much. But I do want to ask, from one parent to another parent, how has that impacted your ability to role play?
Oh man, it's impacted so much. I have less time to role play, but I have gotten closer with role playing friends as opposed to role playing, because it's like, if going back to the respect thing, you know, as parents, we need time.
Yeah.
That is the one thing we absolutely need. And a lot of times when you get off of work, you deal with the child goes to bed, you're talking up about this awesome role play you've been planning for so long, and then it gets there, you're too tired.
Go ahead.
No problem. And having friends who understand that aspect of being a human is nice. So it
really is.
It's more of a positive impact than a negative impact on my role playing.
Yeah, it sucks so much when okay, so my Guild Wars 2 guild. Oh, say that five times fast. They role play every Wednesday at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. I work literally right up till that moment. I have to come home. In order for me to join, I have to come home, get my son, make sure he's okay. And by the time I'm off work, they have started, right? That's when the event has started. So I come home, I get my son, and I make sure he's good to go. I make dinner. I make sure he's bathed. I make sure he's good to go. And all in all, that takes about, getting off of work all the way up until about...
That's a few hours. Yeah.
Well, yeah, about 50 minutes, I can get this all done, right? Because I can get home and be like, all right, son, go take a bath. And while my son is taking a bath, I'll make dinner. When dinner is done, when he comes out, get him dried up, get his hair stuff in, because I have to put stuff in his hair, and get him sat down for dinner. And hope he doesn't make a mess of himself. If he makes a mess of himself, I have a whole nother problem.
Yes!
So I might have to, do some initial cleaning after that. And after we're done eating, because I don't want to not eat I don't want to not eat with him, so I'll sit down, eat with him. About an hour after that is when I can finally get on. So I've already missed, most of the event at that point. And they might be running a long time, but here's the thing. I have to immediately wake back up at 5 o'clock the next morning to get ready to go back to work at 7. Because I work at 12-hour shifts over at the factory. So I have to get off at 7, do everything, might get to enjoy a little role play, but I have to go to bed at a certain time because I don't want to be exhausted for my 12-hour shift.
Exactly. And to kind of add on to your chaotic schedule you have, being a parent, and yeah. I don't mean to sound any type of way, I have a wife too.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
So when the child goes to bed, it's maybe 30 minutes before she goes to bed, and I'm wanting to spend time with her. So it's already reaching 9 o'clock, which 9 o'clock for me, it's early in the night because I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
But my mind shuts off on certain days. Like on Thursday, it's just, I don't plan any role playing for that. And because once it hits 9 o'clock, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
It's downtime. I can't think. I can't really write. It becomes a chore.
Yeah, I have forsaken any role play during the holidays. Like, I did not role play at all from December, from the second week of December to about last week. I could not do any type of role play because of the holidays and with my son and with the job and everything else. No, I'm sorry. I cannot do it. And I wish I could. I love role playing so much. I love storytelling. I love the drama. I love the connections. I love the relationships. I can't do it when I have
exactly
other more important thing. And this is something that we all encounter as role players, you know, IRL first, but it becomes so much more unhinged once a child gets involved.
It really does, because when you're single, when you don't have a child, you got all the time in the world. Spouse is happy, significant other's happy, whatever. You can go and play your game and be on there for hours. When a child comes involved, it's almost like every 15 minutes they want something.
Yeah, and like I'm not downing the fact that I have a child. I love
my son so much. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I love my child. I'm so happy to be a father. I feel privileged that I have the chance to be a parent. I honestly feel more fulfilled as a parent than I have ever felt in anything ever before. I do not know why, I just do. But
it's amazing, honestly.
Yeah. But man, it sucks when we're like right in the middle of a fight, right? And like all this epic shit's going down and we're having and we're having all these different things. And like this fact that I'm doing a podcast and then I have to stop and be like, okay, let me go take care of my son. Hold on, I'll be right back. And while I could, while I try my hardest to make sure I respond and then go make sure my son is doing the thing that he needs to do or helping him do something, you don't get that 100%. You have to be able to stop at a moment's notice to go help your child. It just is what it is. That is what
parents exactly do. And that's the big downside of it all. Again, not downplaying it or anything. That it's just sometimes it's better just not to role play when you know you got your child around you.
I know there are times where I'm just like the other day, I was like, I quite literally was, I just gotten done with some editing work for a new series I'm doing. I had just finished up like a bunch of other things and like contacted people and setting up schedules and doing some, I was doing some writing for a documentary that I'm trying to do right now. And I sat down on the couch with my son and I was like, I could do some role playing right now. And I looked at my computer across the room from me and I was like, I could do some role playing. And then that feeling quickly drained and I was like, no. I can't. As soon as I get online.
And see, going back to a previous question of yours when you've asked, you know, sometimes I'll just pick a character and play them for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Iris, I've mentioned her before. You know, don't want to really say I've ditched her because I haven't, but just the stress of work, the stress of being a parent, and it helps that she's a parent as well. And having all these characters, there's just moments where she wants to play a certain character coupling, and I'm just like, I'm not feeling that. And I've dropped so many role plays from her, from being tired from parenting and working, or from role-playing as a different character. It's just, it is tough to balance because my mind is everywhere. Like you said earlier, my fingers are in too many cookie jars. And it's true. But with her, it's like she's amazing because, again, she's a parent. She understands. She has a husband who works constantly. And so she understands why I'm tired all the time. So that's why I believe we've become so much great friends, because there's a respectable line there that we're not always going to get what we want, but that's okay. They need my support.
I guess if the listeners can take anything from this, if you're here to learn something, if you're not here to just listen, but here to learn, then please foster the relationships you have with the other players. It will not go, there will be times where shit goes sideways, and that's just going to happen inevitably. People sometimes just do not work well together. It is just going to happen. But most of the time, you're going to have yourself a good working relationship with the other player.
Exactly. And another thing to take from this is, in real life first, whether you're a parent or just someone who works a lot, roleplay is going to always be there.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, it, I can log back into Final Fantasy or World of Warcraft right this instant and find some roleplay. Like, I could.
Yes, it's always going to be there. And, you know, excuse me. Roleplaying is such a different beast to tackle. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, with Iris, we've got this storyline going with our current FC that we're doing that you're going to be joining soon. Where one of my characters, I was just going to write a story because, again, I like to write. And I was just going to write a short story about a certain character with hers and Kano's characters. But she's like, why don't we roleplay it instead? The direction it went was entirely different from the direction I was going to go with the story, and it was a lot better.
I love
so,
that.
So to have that evolution of a beast of roleplay, it's always going to be there, and it might not be what you're expecting, but trust me, it's going to be great.
Well, we are coming up to our hour mark, and I am very sorry, but I am going to have to call it.
Oh, no, it's fine.
So, with that said, do you have any bit of advice that you would like to give role players out there?
Be yourself. Honestly. You know, it's if someone doesn't like you for who you are, you don't have to stay with them. And that goes not just for role-playing, it goes for everything. And with, especially with characters, if someone doesn't like the character, just don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up over it. Stop thinking so hard. Stay out of your head.
Oh, God, yes. Ah, I get that. There are many times where I've done something and I'm just like, wait, no, hold on. I'm just in my head about this shit.
Yep. And it's something I always struggle with. And especially with new characters, it's going to happen. And it just stay out of your head.
Stay out of your head, man. That's all it is. Just stay out of your head.
Yeah, right. Just stay out of it, man. You're okay. And if you need that conversation, just have it. But don't be frantic about it.
Yeah, don't be weird.
Don't be weird. Yeah, don't be weird, bro.
Don't be weird, bro.
And that's all I got for us today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. You are all amazing, and I really appreciate you. And I'm so excited to be on this journey with you all. Thank you again, and I will see you next Wednesday. Until then, stay in character, everybody.